The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Today we read about Saint Peter, and he's one of the apostles I think at least I personally can connect with, because he's always messing things up. Right? He has a great, glorious moment. He's going to walk on water, and then immediately he sinks into the water. Or he's in the Last Supper, and he says to Jesus, "I'll never betray you." Right? Then we know what happened shortly after. And here he is, the only apostle who speaks up and says correctly who Jesus is. And then the next minute, Jesus has to rebuke him. Now, Jesus had a thing for giving nicknames or changing people's names. And to Peter, in the Gospel of Matthew and John, he calls Peter Simon, son of Jonah. And it's not really clear if Peter's father was actually Jonah, named Jonah, or if his was named John. And so there's some, I guess, scholarly debate about who Peter's father actually was. But there's a reason Jesus gives him that name, and that is because Peter, in many ways, was like Jonah. And if you want to know who the worst prophet in the Old Testament was, his name was Jonah. Kids here, you probably remember the story of Jonah and the whale, right? That he was swallowed up for 3 days in the belly of the whale. Well, Jonah, he's like Peter, because when God came to Jonah and asked him to start being a prophet, Jonah was originally sort of excited. He's like, "Oh, great, what am I going to get to do?" And God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And that also got Jonah excited, because Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, who had taken over the Jewish lands, and the Jewish people hated the Ninevites. So, of course, Jonah was probably thinking he was going to get the call, fire and brimstone on Nineveh. It was going to be great. And so he says, "Well, what should I do?" And God says to Jonah, "I want you to go and preach repentance so they can all be saved." Jonah didn't like that very much. Right? They were not his. He was not a fan of Nineveh. That's not what he wanted to do. Right? It'd be like if God was asking me as a devout Pittsburgh Steelers fan to like go to Baltimore and somehow convert the Raven fans, right? I would never want to do that, right? Then if there's any here today, make sure you get some holy water on the way out, okay? Well, Jonah listens to God, God goes away, and Jonah does the opposite. Instead of going northeast to Nineveh, he goes south and hops on a boat to go west to Tarshish, which we don't really know what that meant, but it might have been Spain. He was just going on the Mediterranean and getting out of town, as far from Nineveh as he can. Now, that's where the whale story comes in, because God sends a storm, And Jonah's in the boat, and he's like, oh, I think I know what's happening here. And the sailors are like, what's going on? You know, this has got to be your fault. And Jonah says, well, just throw me overboard because, you know, God wants me to go back. You might as well get rid of me now. And so they throw him over, and that's the whale. And the whale brings him back, puts him on the shore. And then God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. So Jonah sort of obeys. He goes back, dragging his feet, not wanting to go, and he gives the lamest prophetic effort he could for 3 days. He walked around saying, you're all going to die in 40 days. You're all going to die in 40 days. And then after 3 days, he goes up on a hill, hoping to see Nineveh destroyed. And even though he gave a half-hearted prophetic effort, the whole city converts. And Jonah's not really liking it, but they convert, and he's a little upset, and God comes to him again, and they have a little conversation where God says something powerful. Because we're getting to the end of the Old Testament. We're getting to the New Testament, and God is helping the Jewish people realize. He says to Jonah, I don't want to just save the Jewish people. I don't want destruction. I want mercy. And that's a powerful message for Jonah to learn. He was a little bit stubborn. He didn't want to do God's will. He didn't want to do things God's way. He kind of had his own plan, which is why when Jesus, sort of grinning, says to Peter, he always reminds him, Peter, son of Jonah, right? You struggle with doing God's will, but when you say yes to God's will, something beautiful can happen. And so in this scene, when Jesus is asking the apostles, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus says, all right, now let's go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die and rise on the third day. And Jesus starts walking, and Peter goes right in front of him and stands in front of him. And the gospel, the way it's translated, makes it sound somewhat nice, but it's Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes the Lord. Now, you can translate rebuke however you want, but it means Peter forcefully told him, no way, you're not going to Jerusalem. And Jesus had to put his arms on Peter and put Peter behind him and say, get behind me. He doesn't say son of Jonah that time. He says, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as men do, not as God does. I think that's a little lesson for all of us, because I know myself, I have often this little prophet Jonah in my heart that tells me to do things my way and not God's way. It didn't make sense for Jesus the Christ to go to Jerusalem and be defeated by the Pharisees and scribes. It didn't make sense humanly. And if you walk into our church and maybe we have someone with us who's not a Christian, they've never been into a Catholic church before, and their first experience, you say, what do you find in here? What's the most beautiful thing, and what's the most ugly thing in here? Well, they would probably look at our crucifix, and they'd be kind of shocked that we would adorn our church with a man on a cross suffering and dying. For them, that would be something ugly, but I think for a devout Christian, somehow the crucifix becomes something so beautiful, because Jesus realized that he needed to show us that we were so loved by God, or else we wouldn't believe it. You see, Adam and Eve in the garden, when they said no to God, it wasn't because they didn't realize he was powerful and almighty, but they didn't trust that he was a father they could trust. So they doubted his love for them. And that's why Jesus overcame that by showing us his great love. And so as we go about our week, in some way Jesus is saying to all of us, take up your cross and follow me. Let this happen to you in your life, and something beautiful will eventually come. That's the power of our Christian message, right? We don't, in the Catholic Church, preach a health and wealth prosperity gospel. Right? To be a Christian means to follow behind the master. And I can't tell you that your life will be easy, that your life won't have difficulties, but I can tell you at the end of your life, whatever, however that story ends, if God is writing it with you, it will be beautiful. And so when the little prophet Jonah that we all have comes up in your heart and says, no, do something your own way. That problem you have, that difficulty, instead of thanking God and embracing it, just use it to reject God. Push him away. Hop on a boat and take off for Tarshish or something. Right? I think we all have that temptation. Today, let us pray that we'll be able to overcome that little prophetic voice from Jonah. And we'll be able to trust in the Master to lead us wherever he's leading us. We all have those crosses in our lives. We all have those paths that we really don't want to walk. But trusting in our Lord, getting strength from the Eucharist today, hopefully we'll be faithful to walk that path wherever it will lead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.